You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Monday. Scorcher outside, but Scorcher inside, too, with our guest today.
Yeah, we got a good one again. Greg Byrne coming in to tell us what's going on over in the SEC and how they're trying to lead the way into a college football season. So I just want to talk to him a little bit about how are things different over there compared to over here.
More money. That's my guess.
Well, there's that, but you know,
she's more human.
Yeah, but I'm interested to see what his perspective is. He's just wrapped up his third year at Alabama, and
third year.
Well, yeah, he left in 2017. Yeah, yeah. So I'd love to see just how he compares things, and you know, is he all used to how, you know, seemingly things are much more serious over there, particularly as it relates to football.
I'm wondering if he's wearing those same red pants. This is different red pants.
They're different red, so I'm guessing not.
Yeah,
I'm guessing he's still got some red pants and probably a red plaid jacket, but I think Alabama's red is a little darker than Arizona's red.
Right, no question. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I hadn't spoke to him in a while, so I'm looking forward to this. 3 years. I don't know if that's a long time or a short time, but it feels different.
Feels like it's been not that long.
Yeah, right.
You know, but yeah, he's been gone a while.
Right. I know you've been wanting to get him on the show for a while.
Yeah, you know, I ran into him a lot. His son Davis went to my kid's high school, so Davis was on the basketball team, and I was a PA announcer for basketball, so I'd see him all the time. And you know, he was there a lot, so you knew that it was important to him to see his son play and that kind of stuff. So, you know, he'd come around quite a bit. So I ran into him a bunch during that period of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he stopped by our tailgate party a time or two over on the McHale lawn. But, you know, he was one of those guys that remembered everybody's names, you know. And I also want to get him to see if he can continue to bug my son about going to get his master's degree. He was always on him about that.
Oh, really?
And Adam still hasn't done it, so I'm going to see if I can get him to go on there. Go, you know, give Adam a buzz, drop him a text or something like that, and say, you know, go get it.
Who knows? Adam might be not as busy as we all think come the fall.
Exactly. So, anyways, it's you know, but Greg's, you know, he was very friendly to me always. I loved a lot of the things that he did at Arizona, and you know, when he took that job, I thought, you know, he's probably the right guy for that job.
So we'll get to that about 6:15 when he calls in from Alabama. Let's talk a little bit about sports. There's still stuff going on. You catch the last two episodes of the Michael Jordan?
I did, and it was real interesting. And the episode nine, which is the first episode yesterday, spent a lot of time on Steve Kerr and that whole his whole time with the Bulls, and it went back and really spent a good deal of amount of time on the assassination of his father.
I had never,
and that was tough.
I had never heard his dad speak on camera.
Yeah,
so I hadn't really heard. You know, we all know the story, of course, but never really saw him communicate that way.
And that was really tough, and you could tell it's still tough.
Sure, this is 42 years later, or something like that.
Yeah, well, it was what, 1983, I think.
84.
But you know, that was you could tell it was still really hard for Steve, and you know, Steve's an old guy now, so you know, and you can tell that he had a special relationship with his dad growing up, and he still, you know, credits his dad with a lot of his success now, in terms of the way his dad mentored him, and so you could tell it was meaningful to him to be able to tell the story.
Right. No, it was a great story. The 9 o'clock hour, they were both very good, but obviously it meant a lot to people who are friends with me and you, because I saw it on Facebook. Everybody loved the ninth hour. Everybody loved the ninth hour. And Steve kind of, he was a bit big player in this 10
in the whole thing.
He was
on it all throughout. And so, you know, and it's funny because he's seen as having been a big part of it. And I think that just goes to show the kind of impact he can have. You know, as he said, I'm not the best player, you know, or any of that, but, you know, people still regard him as somebody that, you know, can lead. And he,
oh, sure,
he did that even at, you know, as a role player with the Bulls. And you know, I liked where, you know, Jordan after that. Steve hit that game-winning shot at the, I think it was against the Pacers in game six or game seven, whatever it was, and said, you know, Steve earned his wings tonight.
Right, right.
I personally thought Steve earned his wings a long time ago, right. But I'm not Michael Jordan to say.
Right. Right, right. No, I was fortunate enough to be there for game six when he hit the game winner versus Utah, and it was just unbelievable. That was a great time for me. A lot of fun watching it. It was a great 10-part series.
Yeah, you know, and I looked forward to it every night. You know, there's a lot of people saying, what now? You know, and people making suggestions about, okay, the next, 10-part series. You know, people say, you know, do... Tiger Woods. A lot of people in Tucson were suggesting Steve Kerr. You know, people want to see something like that on the Dream Team. Although, I mean, how do you do 10 parts on a summer, you know, of basketball? But, you know, there were a lot of suggestions rolled out there to, you know, to do something like that again. But you know what? I think obviously part of why we were so interested in it was because of the timing of when it when it ran.
Sure, no question. And back then, they had already set up for the cameras to be there.
Right.
Exclusively.
Yeah. Right. If nobody's following, you know, following you around with cameras, I mean, how do you do that? I mean, if they hadn't done that, hadn't given them that access, this series doesn't take place
because
you're not going to do it after the fact.
Right, right. No, it was interesting how it was done, kind of going forward, coming back. Full circle.
It was very well done. I thought it was put together really well. Mm-hmm. The director's been on Dan Patrick a couple of times, and he was on again this morning, talking about he's a young guy.
Yeah, right.
And he's a really young guy. I'm curious to know how he got the gig to do that, but I thought he did a really really good job. I thought the way it was constructed was great. That they'd take you to now. Take you back. They spent time on the various personalities that were meaningful to the whole thing. They covered some stuff, and yeah, they glossed over a few things. You know, they glossed over the gambling thing a little bit on Michael. That whole story last night about the pizza and the food poisoning during the quote unquote flu game. I'm hearing a lot of people today saying that they believe that story less than they believe the flu story. You know, people saying there's no way five guys would have gotten past security to deliver a pizza to Michael Jordan's room. And I can attest to that a little bit because there was a summer I was on business in San Francisco, and the Dream Team was at the second Dream Team. So the second Olympic
96.
Team was at my hotel, and you had to show your key card just to get inside the hotel. Then you had to show it again to get on the elevator. Then you had to show it again to get off the elevator.
Yeah.
So for me to think that, you know, a couple of years later, five guys could have gotten in and all the way up to Michael Jordan's room. I kind of have trouble.
The five guys I had trouble. I was in Salt Lake during that time because I traveled back and forth. I remember the flu game. It was the flu game back the day, but we knew at the time it was food poisoning. Just a little while later, he spit on the pizza and all
that whole
stuff.
So
yeah,
I don't know. Again, it just more to talk about. I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the end, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. The whole thing, you know, he was sick and he played and they won.
And they won, right? Right. Let's take a quick break here, get a hold of Greg, and come back on the other side here on 1030 The Voice.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
Hey, welcome back to Why on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera along with Jay Gonzalez. And now on the phone, we have the pleasure of having Greg Byrne. How are you, Greg?
I'm doing great. How are you all doing?
Well, we're doing okay, Greg. We're just kind of hanging out here like everybody else. And so, you know, we wanted to see what you can tell us about how much longer we're going to be hanging out like this, not watching football and stuff. So I just wanted to get right to the point. The reason we asked you to be on the show, because we wanted you to come on our show and say the September 5th game with USC is on.
Well, it is on. what we said and you know, when this all started, as you can imagine, we got calls from a lot of the national media, local media, and they're saying, you know, what are you going to be able to have football? Should you move it to the spring? Is it even going to happen at all? And shortened season. And I said, and when I first started getting the question, right after we got back from the SEC basketball tournament where things kind of, everything got put on hold, I said, guys, it's March. You know, we've got almost 6 months till we kick off the football season, and there's so much we don't know right now. And what I would tell you right now is what we knew 2 months ago, we know a lot more right now. And I think what we'll know 2 months from now is even more. And obviously what this is very serious. We got to listen to the health experts and be there and have them guide us through this. And that's what we're doing. But I can tell you in my conversations with our medical school through the University of Alabama system is at University of Alabama, Birmingham. So talking to the medical folks there, talking through our doctors that we deal with, until there's a vaccine, I think it's going to be a multi-step way for us to kind of get back to whatever our new normal is, and that's through increased testing. That I think is coming online. I'm encouraged from what I'm hearing about that, and more rapid testing, and you know, there's opportunities for saliva-based testing, which obviously the way they're testing through the swab is very challenging. Tracing, you know, continuing to have social distancing and proper hygiene. You know, I think one of the things that is continuing to show more promise is just how much masks help limit the virus being, you know, transferred from one person to another, the transmission of it. And, you know, depending on what you read, it's certainly north of 90%, and some studies have shown 98 to 90% reduction in transmission. If both, you know, if everybody in a room or everybody in an area is wearing a mask. And so I think there's things that we can do. I saw one report that in a China study that studied over 7,000 cases of coronavirus, that only one was transmitted outside. You know, does that mean does that mean it can happen outside? It certainly can, but maybe there's a lot of information we're continuing to happen. Once we get all that information, we can make the right decision for the safety and wellness of our student athletes, for what's right for our fans. But I'm more optimistic than I have been about us having the ability to have a fall sports season. So that's our volleyball team, that's our soccer team as well. And you know, we do play a little football too. So
you do that.
Obviously, be a lot of fun to have that happen.
Man, you almost sound like a doctor, Greg. I don't know. It's a little scary to hear you talk about this stuff. Well, we really wanted to get sort of an SEC perspective of what's going on, because, you know, from where we're sitting over here in Pac-12 territory, there's a couple of things that we're hearing. One, the SEC is sort of out front of pretty much everybody else, and the Pac-12 is sort of behind because of the things that are going on and being said in California, Oregon, and Washington, which were kind of centers of a lot of the stuff that was going on. It seems things are starting to loosen up a little bit in California, but, you know, from where you're sitting, you know, what is the SEC's role on a national scale in terms of you having these conversations and making sure, you know, kind of leading and discussing some of the things that have to take place?
Yeah, well, Jay, I'm on the NCAA Football Oversight Committee, which is helps give direction to the NCAA from a governance standpoint of football. So there's a national level, but then there's the conference level too. I can tell you, Greg Sankey, who is doing a wonderful job as our commissioner, is working with the other Autonomy 5, Power 5, whatever you want to call it, conferences, to try to work together and be on the same page in what's taking place. Obviously, the state governments in each of the areas are going to have a significant impact on what you can and can't do, whether it is playing sports in the fall, whether it, you know, what kind of crowds you can have. It's not going to be one size fits all, and I think that's when we had a football oversight call a couple weeks ago, we're meeting weekly right now, but Dr. Hainline, who's the chief medical officer for the NCAA, was on the call with us, and he said it very well. He said, you cannot expect for the enterprise of college sports and what's right for the enterprise of college sports to expect everybody to come back at the same time. What it looks like in New York may be very different than what it looks like in Nebraska. I think the places, obviously, that have large populations, they're all on top of one another. That makes the transmission, it's been easier in some of those areas, as much as you don't want it to be. And so I think that it's something to where all of the conferences want to work together and try to find decision-making that's right. But each conference will end up doing what they think is the best thing for them, that within their footprints and what their state governments are going to, and even local governments are going to allow them to do. But I know the goal is to try to work together, and that's very much been what the focus has been with Greg Sankey and then with the other commissioners. And so that obviously, I've seen some more positive comments come out of a lot of the Pac-12 schools. And I'm certainly hopeful that everybody across the country can play. And that would be good for everybody, that's for sure.
So, Greg, you're more optimistic now than you were a couple of months ago, but you did not say whether that would be with fans or no fans. And we all know, especially you guys, if there's no fans, there's no money. And that's huge.
Yeah, Steve, it is. We're such an interesting economic model. If you were starting a business, this is not what you wouldn't start college sports, because you have two sports that turn a profit at the Autonomy 5 level. Mm-hmm. You have football at some schools, which is very profitable. Other schools, not significantly profitable, but still is. And then you have men's basketball. Everything else, at Alabama, we have 21 sports. At Arizona, I think we have 20. We have 650 18 to 22 year olds. We have 350 employees plus a couple hundred student workers. And, there's a lot of people that, are dependent on the success of having a football program that's going and that's vibrant and healthy. And so, my hope is that we can have fans. We're selling our season tickets right now. We've been fortunate to have a very strong renewal rate. Our deadline's this week, so we'll know more where the numbers are after this week. But I know that, that is an important part of it. And it's not just because of how it impacts the football program. It's how it impacts women's basketball and your baseball program and your softball program and track and field and everybody across the board. And when you're inside the department on a daily basis, and you get to be around that many 18 to 22 year olds and that many employees. We had an all staff meeting today via Zoom with our entire department on Zoom today, and they want to be back here. They want to coach the kids. They want to be around their student athletes and whatever their role is in the department. And so obviously having that fall sports season is an important part of it. And hopefully fans can be a part of it. And that's our plan, is to have them be part of it. And if we have to adjust, we're going to adjust.
As you're seeing the other schools kind of maybe start eliminating sports here and there, you don't have to say if you are or not. I'm sure you're not. Schools are going that way, which seemed drastic, but almost impossible not to do.
Yeah, Steve, you feel so much for the kids involved in the program, because, being an NCAA, I was a decent athlete, okay? I wasn't good enough to play for Arizona. I wasn't good enough to play for Alabama. And to be at this level, anything in Division I, you're really elite at what you do. Mm-hmm. Think about the state of Arizona every year. There may be three kids good enough to play basketball either at Arizona or Arizona State. As they say in the South, it's high cotton, right?
Yeah.
And so you just see these young men and young women have their programs cut. It's just devastating. I can tell you when I got into this, and I was around it my entire life, but when I realized if I could, I would love to be an athletic director. One of the goals I had is I don't ever want to have to cut a sport. Because I can tell you, when we got back from Nashville in March after the SEC basketball tournament had been canceled and the Pac-12 tournament ended up being canceled and everybody else, and I walked back we had a head coaches meeting, and I walked into the conference room and we had all of our head coaches in there for all the sports. I invited them all in so they could hear what was going on, but especially our spring sports. And I had Brad Bohannon, who we hired as the baseball coach 3 years ago, and he took over a very tough situation with our baseball program. It was really bad, and not to be critical with it, just it was in a very challenging spot. We we were a legitimate SEC tournament team this year, because not everybody goes to the SEC tournament. We were a legitimate regional team. And to see the rebuilding job that he had done, our softball team started out as number one in the country until the Arizona Wildcats came to town. And Coach Candre, who's the absolute best, you know, they had another great ball club. And, you know, but we had national championship aspirations this year. And to tell those coaches, and then to have them tell the kids, and I got to interact with a lot of them the best I could. You know, you get so many, it's hard to have as much interaction as what you'd like. But, you know, it was devastating for them. So that, I was just telling them that their season was canceled. Can you imagine if you're telling them that you can't have that anymore? And, you know, college athletics gets criticized a lot. And we are not, again, we are not a perfect organization. We're not a perfect enterprise. You know, both you and Jay, I mean, you've been sitting there at the scorers table with your brother for, you know, since
100 years.
How long? 30 years?
30
yeah,
years.
100 years. And please say hi to your brother, by the way.
I'll do that.
And Steve, you've been following it for
30 years.
Decades, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, you've seen the warts at times, but there is so much good that happens within college athletic departments. And, you know, sometimes when you hear older folks, and it seems like I'm getting closer to that every day, say, oh, you know, I'm not sure about these up and coming kids. And, you know, if you get to be around these kids, they're great. It's incredible. And you feel great about the future. And, you know, they're not perfect. They make mistakes. But they're a bunch of really good kids who are incredible athletes and doing things at 18 to 22 years old that you forget they're kids at times. But to you know, for those of us, and I count two of you as two guys that have been around it, you see what there's so much good that takes place, and to see a program be dissolved is heartbreaking for everybody involved.
Greg, we're going to take a quick break here. Come right back. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, you betcha.
Great. Let's take a quick break here on 10-3 The Voice.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll-free at 888-881-5765.
On 1030 The Voice, I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And on the phone we have former U of A AD Greg Byrne.
Okay, Greg, this is going to sound a little goofy, okay? But for, you know, somebody who's been here forever, I'm 60, so, you know, I've got some miles in over here. But, you know, you were here for 7 years, and we kind of... from where I sit, kind of feel like, you know, our son grew up and went and took this big job at Alabama now. And so I'd be curious to ask you, you know, what have been some of the major adjustments that you've had to make? You know, how have you had to, you know, grow up as an athletic director in a job like Alabama? And, you know, how has it been different? I mean, you've been gone 3 years, so you've got some time in over there. So you've got a lot of experience to talk about from at Alabama already.
Well, it's, you know, I was familiar with the SEC before because I was the fundraiser at Kentucky, and then I eventually became the AD at Mississippi State, which is only 75 miles away from Tuscaloosa. So, you know, I knew what sweet tea and grits were before we, you know, before Regina and I ventured back out. We love Tucson. Our youngest son, Davis, is still living there. Just graduated last year from U of A, and still have a lot of people that we're very close to in the Tucson community. And so I always used to say publicly that U of A and the two schools in the Pac-12 I thought were closest to what the SEC is was U of A and Oregon. They're, you know, both college towns, even though certainly Tucson is a very large college town. And where they're the only games in town, and there's passion for the university 365 days a year, and that was, to me, was a separator for Arizona. And we tried to use that to our advantage, sometimes real well, sometimes maybe not as well as what we would have liked. But coming here to Alabama, you know, I had an idea what it would be like, and I struggled with it. I and Steve and I have talked about this before. I you know I I had other opportunities to potentially be involved with other schools at Arizona, but Regina and I really liked it there a lot. And we had raised our kids from middle school on up, basically in Tucson, and both our kids were there. And at the same time, too, I kind of felt after 7 years that I was ready for a new start in some ways. And, you know, and it was something where when we came here, we jumped right in, and I did take a little bit of time off between the two schools just to try to recharge the battery a bit. But we jumped right back in here and hit the ground running. You know, I think the biggest difference is basically, I know anytime I do an interview or anytime I say something, I know it can end up on SportsCenter if it has enough, you know, either controversy tied to it or what have you. Coach Saban tonight is doing a bit with Scott Van Pelt's show. They'll have him, I don't know if it's be live, it was taped, excuse me, but that'll be one of the main features. And so everything you do here, you know, obviously I don't get quoted like Coach Saban does, but I know that people pay attention not only within that the state of Alabama, not only within the southeastern footprint, but really nationally. And I got to go to China not too long after I came here, and I was walking through the Hong Kong airport, and I have an Alabama pullover on, and some guy just comes out of nowhere running up at me going, "Roll Tide, Roll Tide." And so, you know, and Arizona's have that. I remember being in London and having a guy come running up to me and tell me he was an Arizona fan. And so that's one of the things Arizona has, is a heck of a following. I think it's just maybe, you know, it's maybe a bit on steroids here, and both are great places. And it's fun where, you know, one of the things I loved, one of my favorite things of Arizona was Friday night or Saturday night at High Corbett. Or you know, Friday or Saturday night at softball, and those night games and the sense of community at Hillebrand Stadium. And the fun thing is that those things can be here too. We usually lead the country in softball attendance here. Hopefully, once baseball continues to improve, those will increase. So, you know, in some ways, guys, I see a lot of similarities between the places, and that's because they're good people, they're passionate fans that care a lot about the university, and I think here the thing that we have, which we're fortunate for, and we got some resources to really invest in our programs from a student athlete experience. Our mental health, Dr. Amy Athey, when I was there at Arizona, she did a great job, wonderful job from a mental health standpoint, but she was busy as can be, just trying to support 500 kids with one person, and that was tough. And so I think that's one of the things in today's world. It used to be as long as you all been around 30 years ago, you weren't doing the same level of support around a student athlete as what you're doing today. Academically, athletically, socially, mental health wise, nutrition wise, and so those all take resources to do that, and Arizona's got some real strengths to it, and at the same time too, we're fortunate to have those here at Alabama as well.
I assume you're walking around the campus or in your office wearing, at times game day, a different shade of red in the pants in the top.
Yeah, I have a crimson coat. I bought it right when I got to town. I haven't bought any crimson pants like I would wear those. Remember when I don't know if they were Dockers or whatever that came out.
Oh, we remember those.
How can we forget?
we definitely remember those.
Yeah, Regina. I don't know if Regina was too proud of me when I throw those on, but I, you know, you got to have the spirit. And it's one of the things I always say, take what you do very seriously. You don't have to take yourself that seriously. Hopefully you can have some fun in the process. But, there's plenty. You know, it's interesting here. Here we've got crimson and white, but you got the houndstooth, too, from Coach Bryant. When Bear Bryant, you know, would wear the houndstooth hats, and so you still see a lot of houndstooth around as well. And one of the things they do, it's a little different here. You can go down to one of the local, you know, men's stores, and they have all the Peter Millar golf shirts, and they have them in about every color you could want. So people, and they just throw the crimson A on. I'm actually wearing a light blue Peter Millar shirt right now, and it's got a crimson A on it. So they'll throw it about on any color shirt that they got around here.
I predicted that you had a plaid red jacket. So,
yeah.
So if it's just that, solid, I'm a little disappointed.
So John Court, the gymnastics coach, I left that because he's a big fellow like me, and that coat fit him. So he's actually worn it. He's every time they compete against the Devils, he wears that and sends me a picture. So, and that's why, you know, they're such good coaches at Arizona. You know, they're great coaches when I got there with the Mike Candreas of the world. I mean, you're talking, he's the John Wooden softball. He's the Nick Saban of softball, and to have him there. And, you know, Dave Rubio and the great job that he's done with the program over the years. And, you know, we're excited. Brought in Laura Iannello, and she's done a great job. And, you know, I know it didn't end the way you wanted to, but Rich Rod had a lot of exciting times that he was there. And, you know, I was proud of the job that Adia's done and Jay Johnson. And, you know, that's the thing about Tucson is people want to go there and they want to be a part of it. And I understand why guys like Candrea and Rubio have stayed there as long as they have, because it's such a wonderful community with great people.
Is it just, are college towns, or there's a big difference in the college towns?
There's differences. I mean, Starkville, Mississippi is a lot different than Tucson, Arizona. And we were in Starkville for 4 years and we really enjoyed it there. Regina was named Ambassador of the Year, which is like Citizen of the Year there. If you would have told me, Steve, that 15 years ago that I'd live in Starkville, Mississippi and really enjoy it, I would have said, you know, I might as well thought I'd move to Ethiopia, right? And we loved it there. We had a great time, and I never thought I'd live in Tucson, and we liked it there. And I think it's about what you make of the community that you're in. But college towns are special. And I do think there's real value from your college experience to be the only game in town. And, you know, we would try to make sure everybody knew that we were the college town in the state of Arizona, and we tried to have some fun with it. Rivalries, you know, you got to be careful not to cross certain lines. But it's okay to have fun with your rival in a spirited good way. But I love college towns, and I think I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. I love Tuscaloosa, and we've really have felt accepted here. And it's a town of about, it reminds me a little bit of Eugene, because it's a town of just about 100,000, and the center of the community is the university. And you think about it in Tucson, about all roads lead to the U of A, don't they?
They do,
and that's what, you know, right there when you get to Speedway and everything's right there. It's, you know, you're in a college campus, and Tucson's a big one, but it's a college town.
Well, let me ask you about the rivalries, because that's something that always interests me. You know, I again, having grown up here, my disdain for all things ASU. I don't know that there's too many people in town that have it worse than me. But, you know, when you talk about the U of A ASU rivalry, and there's a, you know, sometimes it's gotten a little out of hand, you know, compare that to the, you know, to the Alabama Auburn rivalry and how people get along or don't get along. And what are the, you know, areas of, you know, where they have the toughest time with each other, I guess is the way to say that.
Yeah. I think in the Pac-12, the two best rivalries are Arizona State and Oregon State, where there's the focus on it year round. And you know, there weren't many days, I don't think, in the Arizona athletic department where we didn't talk about Arizona State at some point. And I'm pretty sure if I had to guess, there was a discussion or two about Arizona every day. And that's where there's that focus 365 days a year. You know, here, the biggest difference here, we don't have any pro sports, right? We've got Atlanta's, from where I'm sitting here in Tuscaloosa, is about a 3.5-4 hour drive away. So you got some pro sports there. You got the Saints down in New Orleans. But if you, I don't know if you guys got to watch the 150 years of college football series that Ivan Mazel, did. I mean, it just really showed, and it was national, but there was a lot of focus on the SEC on there. It's 365 days a year. There are no pro sports, and you have some decent sized markets in Birmingham and Montgomery and Mobile, and so the intensity of it. The other thing, just being very transparent, the other thing that we have here, one of the things for your family is, Jay, is that you're multi generational, right?
Yes,
you were from Tucson, right, if I remember right. And so it was, you grew up in it, and that helped create the rivalry and the passion that you had for that rivalry. One of the things about some of the Western cities, and again, not a criticism at all, it's just different, is you don't have those same level of multi-generations. When you go to a ball game here, when you go to the Iron Bowl, people, you're going to see grandfathers and grandmothers and their sons and daughters and their sons and daughters, and sometimes, you know, that you may even have great grandma and grandpa there. And so you're going to sometimes have three and four generations all there who have grown up around it and accustomed to it. And one of the jokes they'll say down here is, you know, when you meet somebody that you don't know, they're going to ask you a couple questions. They're going to first of all say, you know, who's your kin? So who's your family? And then they're going to say, are you a Baptist or a Methodist? Even though, you know, there are a lot of Catholics down here too. And then they're going to say, are you Alabama or Auburn? And those are the things that are going to define you. And that's from one end of the state to the other. And so I think that's one of the things. I could see that in Tucson when you would see those multi-generation Arizona Wildcat families, and that is you'd see the belief and love for the program, which certainly took place in a lot of things. You know, we're first generations, but you could see those roots would go even deeper when you'd see those multi-generations, and so. I think what you just see is more of that here because, you know, there's just been people that have lived and stayed here and had their anchor down to where their roots are. And I think that makes an impact, if that makes sense.
Is it political at all? Because it always has been here, you know, because, you know, with the legislature up in Phoenix and then things going on down here. I mean, it's reached even way beyond the schools. Or is it just kind of stick to the schools?
You know, in Alabama, it's not as much political. I think the local government or the state government here has got a lot of people from both schools and then other schools as well. Next door, when I lived in Mississippi, it was when I became the AD at Mississippi State, the state government was dominated because the law school was at Ole Miss, was dominated by Ole Miss, and there was actually an effort. It was a political action committee called Bully Block that got started to identify and cultivate more people to go into the state government offices tied to Mississippi State. So you'll see that, and that was something that, you know, I think can really help. And, you know, as funding takes place for higher education and everybody's out trying to find their opportunity to fund their entity as best as they can. So sometimes the politics come into it, but I, you know, from what I've sensed in dealing with Montgomery as the state capital here, when I've been in Montgomery and dealt with the and been around our state representatives, I find it to be a pretty mixed bag of people tied to multiple schools, including both Alabama and Auburn.
Greg, we appreciate you joining us. A lot of fun.
You betcha. Hey, thanks for having me. Good. How long has the show been on?
I started,
right?
Yeah, Steve's been on. Steve was solo for a while, but he invited me on. This is my third full week now, and we've been having a great time. We had Terry Francona on Friday, and we got some other great guests coming up. So we do appreciate you joining us. I just love hearing the perspective of, you know, guys who have been here, know us, but also, you know, have a perspective from outside, and that's really one of the things that we're trying to do. So we really, really appreciate you joining us and hope you had fun, and we'd like to, you know, we'll get you again at some point.
Yeah, if you run out of guests to have on, let me know and I'd be happy to come back.
Okay. Thank you, Greg.
Good luck. Okay.
Thanks, appreciate it. Say hey to the family.
Right, you betcha. Good. Bye-bye.
That was Greg Byrne, bye-bye. Former U of A AD. We're a little over. Let's go take a quick break here on 10:30 The Voice. That was good.
For nearly seven decades, Hughes Federal Credit Union has been there for its members, through good times and bad. We know that by working together, we can achieve great things, like addressing your financial needs during these uncertain times. We're available for you by phone or online, via our website or mobile app. Our drive-up windows are open, and we're available to help you in our branch lobbies by appointment. We've got your back, today, tomorrow, and for decades to come. Visit HughesFCU.org, insured by NCUA.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. That was Greg Byrne. Nice to catch up to Greg Byrne. This is one of yours, isn't it? Stevie Wonder.
It is Stevie. Stevie all day over here. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Good show.
It was fun to talk to him. You know, I love, like I said, I love hearing, you know, how things are, you know, going with somebody who, you know, I mean, I know Greg, he was an AD at Mississippi State, so he was already in the SEC, but, you know, I really think, you know, he cut his teeth here at Arizona. He was here 7 years, did some big stuff with the Lowell Stevens facility, the renovation of McHale, hired a couple of coaches. I thought he hired one of the best coaches we've ever had in Rich Rod, and I know things went sour there, but, you know, we had some fun while he was here, you know, and at 45 years old, he's the AD mm-hmm. at Alabama, you know, dealing with, as he said, dealing with national media and that type of stuff.
Yeah. Let's get on the phone line now. We have Ron Hess, one of my great advertisers. Ron, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Let me tell you, when you came on as one of my advertisers, the Window Depot, I'm thinking there's Lute back in my day. Lute in his name, and then you have Sean now, and Mr. On, and now Ron Hess, that voice. How could you not miss that voice?
Well, thank you so much. It's actually funny. I met you many years ago. I was on a friend of mine, Dennis Bartlett. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes,
name.
Yes.
He. I went on the Oregon trip with the team and with Dennis, and I met you one day at the hotel.
Yeah. Dennis, one of the accounting guys. I think he was an accountant.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet. He was Lute's accountant. Yeah.
Yeah. How are you dealing with all this? You're everywhere. Commercials, blah, blah, blah. How are you dealing with all this?
Well, what we've done is, you know, we made a commitment that we were allowed to stay open, first of all, but the government found us as an essential business. And because of that, we decided, well, we needed to protect our people that work for us. We went on a rampage of cleaning our facility. Mm-hmm. We have six full-time people. That's all they do is clean our factories every day. And then at every one of our stores, we also spend a lot of time cleaning the restrooms, making sure our customers and our employees feel safe that they can come to work every day, or that the employees can shop our stores and they're going to be safe. We ask them to wear masks. If they don't want to, that's okay. But we do the social distancing. So far so good, and we've been very fortunate. We are incredibly busy. So.
That's good. That's good to know. You've been around a while. I'm sure you can talk a lot about the good old days in sports. What about the current mm-hmm. days in sports? I'm talking locally.
Yeah, locally. You know, it's. I used to be a football, basketball season ticket holder, and then I had a couple of down years a few years ago, and I gave up my football seats. I had some really nice Lowe's box seats, but part of that was my basketball tickets. And when I tried to go back and buy them, you know, they weren't available with the same kind of deal. If you bought Lowe's, you got Lowe's football, you got basketball. And so, you know, fortunately, you know, I do a lot of media, so I get a lot of free tickets. But, you know, it's a little disheartening. I think what we miss is these kids had been around here for 3-4 years. You know, it's like, I'll use Corey Williams as an example. I sponsor Corey's basketball. I'm one of the sponsors in Corey's league in the summertime, and I have for many years. And in the beginning, you know, many years ago, when Lute was the coach, we had a lot of U of A players. We had a lot mm-hmm. of team of college players. Had a lot of kids that would come in town just to play. Now there's no U of A players, and the league suffered a little bit. But Corey's a magnificent promoter, and he's done a great job with it. And it's kind of disheartening. I've just found out today that there will be no league this summer, but things like that. You know, it's changed, and I think a lot of it's changed because we don't get kids that hang around for 3 or 4 years. You know, you don't even get to, you know, feel comfortable with them, know their names. And,
right.
You know, in the old days, they were, gosh, Sean Elliott and Steve Kerr and Jason Terry, you know, 3-4, Miles Simon, you know, just hung around for a long time, and it made it so much nicer because you really got into the teams. And, you know, I used to tell all my friends when, you know, you hear the hue and cry about, you know, it's time to be done with Dick Tomey. Just be careful what you wish for, and look where we are now.
Exactly. Exactly. That's, yeah. You know, that's one of the things that we've always thought. You know, I'm a believer in the whole idea that, you know, particularly as it relates to basketball, it's just too darn hard to put a team together when you're putting a new, you know, 8 new guys, you know, every year. And I'm not a coach, yeah. So I can't, you know, I can't speak to all of that. But it just, from where I sit, it just seems like that's awful hard. And the, you know, the great teams that Arizona has had in the past, they've always had guys who'd been here a while. And I'm talking about basketball.
Sure. Yeah, it's the truth. And, you know, you look at teams like Gonzaga. Well, they're doing it with kids that have been around 3-4 years. And so the kids are out there. It's just that I think, you know, we've caught up in this, well, we got to have nothing but five-star recruits. Well, you know, how many five-star recruits did Lute always have? You know, there was Sean Elliott and a bunch of McMillan. He was probably the next biggest recruit in those days. And then we had Steve Kerr and Anthony Cook and
you're going to make me cry. You're going to make me cry, Ron. Those good old days stuff is going to make me cry.
You bet. Well, there was a lot of good old days.
Yes, sir.
Way up until Lute's retirement. My goodness. There was a lot of kids that played 3 years for Lute.
Let me ask you real quick, Cole. We have about a minute, if that. Your sure. best moment that does not include the national championship game in basketball.
Wow. The night Khalid Reeves lit up
Michigan.
That was the best night ever. He just lit him up, and I always tell a story. He lit up Jalen Rose. Between that and the time that Rooks fouled out Shaquille, those were great nights.
Look at you. I like it. You got some good stuff in that brain of yours. Hey.
Yeah, there's still some things hanging out in there.
We've got to have you back on. We're going to have you back on. Obviously, this is your first time in after all these years, but you're going to come back regularly. Thank you.
I promise. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Ron. Appreciate it.
Hey, everybody. We just got word our guest tomorrow, Steve Kerr, will be on Eye on the Ball tomorrow. Join us at 6 o'clock again, and you'll get a chance to hear Steve Kerr's perspective on things that are going on right now.
Great. Thank you, Jay.